God has given every believer access to power and authority within the context of his will.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about why the Lord offers us something that amazing.
He wants you to see the power that reverses things. Take things that are bad and make them good.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Having access to God's power is one thing. Putting it to work in our lives is another. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1 as Dr. Evans explains why the difference comes down to exercising our spiritual authority.
Our series has been called, Igniting Kingdom Prayer. And the purpose of this series is connecting you with your authority, with your spiritually endowed authority granted to you by God if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. But for far too many of us, we do not see clearly because we do not understand that it is our shaded view that's keeping us from experiencing what God offers. God wants you and me to have kingdom authority. Kingdom authority is the divinely authorized right and responsibility that's been delegated to believers to act on God's behalf in spiritually ruling over his creation underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ. In verses 15 to 18, Paul prays that they will apprehend what they have. He says in verse 17, that God will give you a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation. He prays in verse 18, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. All that means is so that you start seeing things as they really are and not as you think they are. He wants God to clarify. So I want you to whisper in your mind or with your lips. As I'm speaking to you today, I simply want you to ask God to help you see that the eyes of your heart might be illuminated to see clearly what this authority that you possess, I possess, we possess as believers. In fact, he uses an interesting word in the end of verse 18, which are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So I'm here to declare to you, you are rich. He says, I want you to understand how rich you are in the spiritual realm that you have inherited by virtue of your faith in Jesus Christ. There is not a poor person here spiritually as far as your inheritance is concerned. So if we are spiritually poor, we don't know how to withdraw. Because he says, I want you to see how rich you are, spiritually speaking. A college student one day called his mom and said, Mom, I'm running out of money. Before it's time for me to come home for the break, I'm running out of money. Mama, please send me some money. He received a package in the mail. It was a Bible. It was with a note. It said, son, pray and read your Bible. He called her up. He said, Mama, I know you love the Lord and all that, but I need some money. Before spring break, I'm going to run out. She said, son, pray and read your Bible. He got frustrated and called her back. Mama, please, let's get practical. I'm in a situation. I need you to send me some money. She said, boy, I told you, pray and read your Bible. A few weeks later, he came home mad at his mother. I called you because I was in a practical need. You sent me the Bible with a letter, pray and read your Bible. She said, did you pray and read your Bible? He said, yeah, I prayed and read my Bible, but that didn't address my real need. She said, give me your Bible. He gave her the Bible that she sent to him. She opened up the Bible to the Psalms. There was five $100 bills. In the Psalms, boy, you didn't pray and read your Bible. Because if you would have prayed and read your Bible, you would have understood there's more in there than you could ever imagine. What God wants you to know, me to know, and us to know that there is more in there to be experienced, not just to be held in your hand, but to be experienced. He says, I pray that your eyes might be enlightened. But our problem is we've got fog on our glasses. It's like pesticides being put on fruit and vegetables, producing another kind of problem, no matter how good it tastes. Many of us have put pesticide on what God has for us, and it's contaminated it. That pesticide is called human wisdom. That is man's point of view, the human way to go, the natural way to think. And we have sprinkled pesticide on God's organic truth and wonder why we're spiritually sick, even though we're still chewing on the word. Now, having established what he's praying for, what you and I should be praying for, clear glasses so that we can see, he goes a little bit further. What does he want us to see? Well, he says, verse 19, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? So guess what he wants you to see? He wants you to see his power. He wants you not to talk about it, brag about it. He wants you to see it. He says God wants to show you his muscles. God wants to show you his potency. God wants you to experience his power. Well, how big is this power? Well, he tells you, which verse 20 he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above rule, authority, power, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Wow. He wants you to experience, here it is, resurrection power. He says it's the power that raised Christ from the dead. Resurrection power demonstrates a reversal of fortune. If you're dead one day, and if you're alive 2 days later, that's a reversal of fortune. That's a 180 degree turn from how things were and how things are. What kind of power does God want you to see? He wants you to see the power that reverses things, that can take things that are dead and make them alive. Take things that are bad and make them good. Take defeat and make victory. Take loss and wind up with gain. He wants you to see, watch this, that he can change the natural order of things. Resurrection is changing the natural order of things. Now, that's going to happen to you and me physically, like it happened to Jesus when we're given our new bodies at the resurrection. But he's not talking about when believers die. He's talking about while we're still alive. He says, I want you to see it now. I want you to put on glasses so that you get to see resurrection power. Now, let's go a little deeper. When he raised Jesus from the dead, it says that Jesus being raised seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Jesus rose on Sunday, then he ascended 40 days later through the clouds into heaven where he sat down. Now you sit down when you finish something. The Bible says he sat down on the right hand of the Father. The Father's right hand is his power hand. When the Bible talks about the right hand of God, it's talking about his power. So he sat in the seat of power. Hebrews calls it the throne. So he's sitting in a powerful seat on a powerful throne because he's a powerful person. So now the reversal of fortune from Friday to Sunday led to the ascension, which led to him being seated on a throne. Who sits on a throne? A king sits on a throne. So Jesus Christ is ruling. Stay with me here. Jesus Christ is in a ruling position, having experienced the physical resurrection from the dead. But where exactly is this throne? He tells you. He says this throne is located in heavenly places. Heavenly places is a euphemism for the spiritual realm. When the Bible says heavenly places, it's talking about the spiritual realm. Paul uses this phrase a lot in Ephesians. In 1:3, he says your blessings are in the spiritual realm. He says here, Jesus is seated in the spiritual realm. We're going to look in a moment at chapter 2, verse 6. We are in the spiritual realm. He says in chapter 3, verse 10, the angels are in the spiritual realm. And then he says in chapter 6, verse 12, the devil and his demons are in a spiritual realm in heavenly places. He used heavenly places. So when you hear the phrase heavenly places, think about the spiritual realm. So follow this. Jesus Christ is now seated in the spiritual realm, ruling on a throne. Jesus Christ, having risen, ascended, is seated on a ruling throne in the spiritual realm. He's not seated in the physical realm where you and I are today. He is seated, very much alive, in the spiritual realm called heavenly places. But what is he doing in that spiritual realm? He's ruling because he's seated on a throne. So he wants your eyes to be open, that you got this wealth available to you to experience his power, and that power is demonstrated in the person of Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, which says that in Jesus' death and resurrection, Satan was defeated. So let's get this straight. You cannot now be defeated by Satan unless he's allowed to do it. And he does it now by deception because Jesus took away his fangs. Bible says he took away the power of death. So Satan now must trick us to defeat us. He can't just overpower us to defeat us if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. He's got to dupe you. That's why he wants your eyes, my eyes, to be open, that Satan is now under Jesus' feet.
We'll find out how Jesus' victory over the devil gives him the resources to assure our victory when Dr. Evans comes right back with more of this lesson from his brand new series, Igniting Kingdom Prayer. As we've been learning, kingdom prayer isn't just any prayer. It starts with understanding God's comprehensive authority over every area of life. This series will help you get your mind around that idea and connect you with the power that's available when you make the Lord's agenda our first priority. We'd like to send you this collection of 12 full-length CDs as our way of saying thanks when you make a donation to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. In fact, we'll include a special bonus when you do, Tony's book, Praying Through the Names of Jesus. The Lord is described many different ways in Scripture, and each one tells us something about his character, his power, and how he wants to relate with us. You'll find a lot of comfort in these pages as you learn that there's a name that covers every need you face. So be sure to take advantage of this special double offer today before time runs out. I'll tell you how to make the arrangements right after this.
The Bible certainly is the most life-changing book of all time, but it's not always the easiest book to understand. The Tony Evans Study Bible changes that. Tony has added extensive study notes, features, maps, doctrinal charts, links to 150 videos, and more to this experiential study Bible. The historic Tony Evans Study Bible and also the one-volume commentary is available now. Let Tony guide you on the path to greater understanding.
The Tony Evans Study Bible and commentary, two of the most important tools you can have on hand if you're serious about understanding Scripture. They're both brand new and going so fast that the publisher had to print more to keep up with the demand. Get yours today at tonyevans.org. or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information later on, after Dr. Evans brings us part two of today's lesson.
If you got a bank account with a lot of stuff in it, it would be nice to know that. It'd be nice to know you got a deposit and that you have the power of withdrawal. God has given every believer access to power and authority, the right to use legitimate power within the context of his will. Jesus sits in heaven to authorize it. And he has now given you and me, watch this, it's coming home, an all access pass. Look at chapter 2, verse 6. I'm going to read verse 4 to 6. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you just see what I just read? So guess what? Jesus is not the only one in heaven. Somebody's with him. Together with him. Not only are there folks with him and together with him, they are seated beside him. He says, you have been relocated spiritually, even though you are physically located right here, right now in church. He says, because if you are saved, you died with him, were raised with him, were seated with him in the heavenly places. So here's the problem. If you're seated with him in heavenly places, but you're operating from earthly places, then you're functioning from the wrong location. So how do you get to experience this? Okay, here it is. Notice verse 22. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You will not see the connection open up and the screen come on up there in heavenly places where you are, down here on earthly places where you sit, unless you are under Jesus' feet. That means under his authority. You and I must settle one issue. And the one issue that must be settled is the lordship of Jesus Christ over every area of life. That issue must get settled. When you trust Christ for the forgiveness of sins, you're now on your way to heaven. But when you submit to the lordship or the rulership of Jesus Christ over every area of your life, that's when heaven can visit you. And heaven will not visit you if you're not under his feet. Let me read to you right now Romans 14 about the lordship of Jesus Christ. Here's what it says in verses 7 through 9. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Until he is Lord, he uses the word Lord four times in those verses. Until he is master, ruler, final decision maker, dictator, meaning you're under his foot. You know, when somebody puts their foot on somebody, they want to hold them down. Unless God can hold you down, unless you are willing to say, yes, Lord, to his authority, unless you and I are willing to say, I am not my own, I've been bought with a price. And that buying with a price covers all of my life. My personal life, my financial life, my attitudinal life, my relational life. It covers all of my life because I am not my own. He says, I want to be Lord while you're living and when you're dead. I don't want to just be Lord when it comes time to go to heaven. I want to be Lord on your way there. Until we are under his feet, we will not see his authority being manifested in our experience. We won't see his power. We won't see change. See, because that, look, the way you know that this Christian thing is working is God demonstrates his power. See, when Jesus was on earth, how did they know he was the Messiah? Because of his powerful demonstrations. So if you really want to know how real he is, plug into his power. But you can't plug into his power unless you're under his foot. You got to be under his authority. In other words, he must have the right to veto you. He must have the right to overrule you. He must have the right to dictate to you. He must have the right to consume you, because he died and rose to be Lord not just to be Savior.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a closing thought about why we might want to reconsider a word Christians use pretty often. First, though, today's message was called Understanding Spiritual Authority, and it's available as a part of Tony's current series, Igniting Kingdom Prayer. There are 12 messages in this brand new collection, packed with material we didn't have time to bring you on the air, and they're yours as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help support this ministry. There's no way we can continue this broadcast without the faithfulness of listeners just like you, and we really need your help between now and the end of the year to make up for a summer shortfall. If you contact us right away, we'll also include the book I told you about earlier, Praying Through the Names of Jesus, as a special bonus. Visit TonyEvans.org today to make the arrangements. When you do, don't forget to pick up copies of the brand new Tony Evans Study Bible and Commentary. They draw from Tony's 50 years of study, teaching, and preaching. But even that left some work still to be done. Here's what he told us about that recently.
Well, those passages that I hadn't covered, I went and taught on them. At church, I would go through those books line by line, verse by verse, and show how the truth of that book can be applied to our lives tied to this kingdom perspective that's in all of Scripture. In addition, I would use my personal study time to address passages that I had not yet taught on. I would do that at 2, 3, 4, and 5 o'clock in the morning when everything was quiet and I could totally focus on making sure I was being true to Scripture and true to the needs of the audience in putting together the material for the study Bible.
The Tony Evans Study Bible and Commentary, 10 full years from concept to completion, two of the best resources you can have by your side anytime you study God's Word. They make the perfect additions to your personal library and great Christmas gifts as well. Get your copies today at TonyEvans.org. It's one of those things Christians do, but don't always understand. I'm talking about wrapping up a prayer with the words, "In Jesus' name." Well, on Monday, Dr. Evans will talk about connecting with the power in that name when we use it the way God intended. Now, though, he's back with this final thought.
So right now, in closing, I want to switch a word. I want to change out a word. Now, the word I want to change out is a great word. It's a good word. But it's a problem word. But it's a natural word. The word I want to switch out is the word commitment. See, we call on people to make a commitment. There's a problem with a good word. The problem with the word commitment is you're still in control. See, when you make a commitment, you're in control. Like we committed to lose the weight we gained over Christmas. We committed. I'm going on a diet and I'm gonna lose that weight. We committed to start working out. We committed. We committed to read our Bible every day or to pray more. And we were so sincere when we made those commitments. I'm telling you, we were so sincere. But then life happened and distractions happened. And our commitment began to wane, not because we weren't sincere, but we were in control. And when the control got weak, the commitment got weak. So what do? We walk the aisle and commit, then we recommit. Then we recommit the recommitment we made when we committed. Because commitment is tied to our control. So I want to switch the word out. I want to switch the word out from commitment to surrender. See, because when you surrender, somebody else is in control. Somebody else is calling the shots. So commitment is a great word, but we get shaky with commitment. So let's go to surrender so that it's not up to us. It's whatever you say, boss. You the boss, man. Whatever you say, yes, sir. I surrender. I hold up my hands because you're the authority. Because now it doesn't depend on my commitment. It depends on my obedience to the authority who's telling me what to do. So I surrender. And once you surrender, heaven wakes up and say, "We got one. We got one who's ready to see my power and my authority."
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.